It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With a victory Sunday in Baltimore, Jaden Daniels would become just the second rookie quarterback since 1950 to start and win five of his team's first six games of a season. The other one to do it, Dak Prescott in 2016. Remember, that Cowboy team started out 10-1. Ben Standig is with us. He is our Washington Commanders insider. He's with us every Monday and Friday at 12 noon. He's going to have to run a little bit early because Dan Quinn is scheduled to speak at 12:15. We'll try to carry some of Quinn's last press conference before the game on Sunday. At Ben Standig on Twitter, please subscribe to The Athletic and read Ben, read David Aldridge, read everybody that covers the NFL and all the local teams. It's totally worth it. And Ben's got a podcast that we talk about all the time that's excellent. It's called Last Man Standing. All right, let's start with health. Brian Robinson Jr. didn't practice today, or did he? And what is his status for Sunday?
Yeah, he was not out there today during the open portion, so it's possible he snuck in later or, you know, doing enough that they would consider it to be limited. But, you know, last week he was listed as limited after missing 2 days of practice and then played very limited role. In the game. And, you know, they've talked about this week that, you know, they're saying he's fine, but that they're also mentioning, hey, we got to, you know, make sure he's good for the long haul here. So we'll, you know, again, we'll talk to Quinn and find out, but it's at the moment, based on what we see here, I don't know that he's going to play this week.
But you don't know that he's going to play, but isn't your hunch that he will, kind of like last week?
Oh, I don't necessarily know that. I mean, he did, you know, yes, it was 24-3 at halftime, and we can all say we thought they were probably going to win, but you don't typically sit your starting running back. He didn't have any carries or didn't play in the second half, so it says to me that they felt resting him was more important than, you know, finishing off the Browns, and now he hasn't practiced. So, you know, it does make me wonder. Of course, this is, you know, every game you're going to want that guy on your team, but especially this one where, you know, keeping the ball away from the Ravens' offense, it's going to be a physical game, et cetera, that you want that guy out there. So, logically, sure, but I don't know. I don't have – I'm less – last week I figured he would play. This week I'm more – I have more doubt.
There's a part of the game that I'm curious about, and I'm wondering if you've given it any thought. I mean, of course, we're wondering how will they stop the run or slow down the run, you know, especially against that Baltimore offense that sometimes has, you know, two tight ends and a big fullback, or sometimes three tight ends and a big fullback out there. How do you think Washington plays that defensively?
Yeah, so they've been pretty much nickel, right, the whole time, which is, you know, we understand that, you know, they improved the linebackers here significantly from last year, but they're still kind of only the two. Now, I am expecting Jordan McGee to get off the IR
possibly
this week. Yeah, I mean, you know, they did just open up the roster spot with Sam Howell out. I don't think F.A. Albata, who is another guy who at some point here will either be activated or kept on IR. So I would think this is a chance for McGee to be activated. And if so, does that mean you immediately use him at linebacker? I can't say for sure, but going with a 4-3, to some degree would make a lot of sense in this particular matchup, because otherwise you're having a nickelback to potentially deal with Derrick Henry, and that's obviously a terrible matchup for anybody. So, yeah, you know, there's really no other – I mean, I guess, like, if they could – you know, if, even if you say, like, Dante Fowler, like, move him from, like, say he's more of a linebacker than an edge, he's not really a big hitter that way. He's more of a pass rusher. So I guess you could go five defensive linemen if you don't feel there's three running backs. But, you know, then the Ravens, like you said, the two tight ends, both of whom are excellent pass catchers. You know, now you can get them in space against a non-pass defender, so to speak. So, yeah, I think that's probably the interesting part of this chess match is how much does Washington deviate from what they do. And it just doesn't feel like they have that piece, again, unless McGee is back and they think he's ready to go.
By the way, I didn't ask you about Cleveland Farrell. Will he be back Sunday?
I don't think so. I believe Quinn was saying last week that it's probably going to be a couple of games. So I'm guessing no. Realizing at this exact second, I didn't look. I don't remember the injury report from yesterday. But
it's okay.
I would guess
what about
no.
Noah Brown?
He was practicing this week, so that certainly points to more likelihood that he's available. So obviously that would be a huge deal just from a depth perspective. It gives them size, helps in the run game as a blocker. So, yeah, I think there's more optimism there.
I've been, you know, asked a lot this week by, you know, I actually had a caller ask about it today, had a caller ask about it the other day, social media, friends, about how well Luke McCaffrey has played and how much he's been open, but also, you know, what a great blocker he is. And why hasn't he been targeted more? And my answer has been, do you know what the quarterback's completion percentage is? It's 77%. He's finding people and they're moving the football and they never punt. But I'm curious as to whether or not you believe they think there are more opportunities for McCaffrey and they want Jaden Daniels to find McCaffrey more.
So let me just tell you this. I just got yelled at by Dan Quinn to get off the phone. So I'm going to have to go. Maybe if you want, I can come back after. But in terms of Luke, yeah, I mean, he's not dropping passes. He's blocking. Brian Baldinger on Twitter had a really good breakdown of all the things that he's doing. I feel like they, as a team, they only have two drops as from the receivers overall, but McCaffrey's been really good. But, yeah, we can talk about this after we talk to Dan.
He was kidding, right?
Yeah, he was joking with me, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, we can reconvene at another time. Enjoy the game. I'll talk to you Monday. All right, Ben Standick, everybody. We probably could have arranged for a different time for Ben to come on because I think we knew that Quinn was going to speak at 12:15. Do you want to carry some of Quinn, right, when he starts at 12:15?
Yeah, I think we definitely should. We got a big matchup this weekend. I want to hear from the coach.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will carry that once he starts. Denton's going to check out that. You know, there. This is the big game of the day, but there are others. The game last night was rather important. Detroit-Dallas obviously getting talked about a lot. This is another big spot for the Cowboys. They got the two on the road that they really needed to get. They've got the Lions at home. The Lions, by the way, coming off their bye week, and the Cowboys played on Sunday night. The Cowboys, a dog at home. And look, I think Dallas can win this game. You know, Detroit has not been great defensively in the first four games of the year. They were okay against Tampa. They gave up a lot of yards and points against the Rams. They gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points against Seattle. Could have been more in that game. I don't think they've been as good defensively as perhaps they were last year. The matchup here that has to be concerning to Dallas fans, Denton, is Detroit's mammoth and mauling offensive line against a Dallas defense that fought like hell against a Pittsburgh offense that is a little bit, you know, less imposing than Detroit's offense. But, you know, can they actually compete at the line of scrimmage, you know, on Sunday against the Lions? This one is another one that has kind of shootout written all over it, and you'd think that's the way Dallas would have to get the win, but they got a win last week with just 20. I think they got to get more this week. And then the Monday night game, you know, is really another kind of big spot for the league. The Jets firing Robert Saleh, elevating Ulbrecht. He then decides he's going to can or demote Nathaniel Hackett and elevate Todd Downing. Aaron Rodgers said yesterday he was totally fine with it and supportive of it. You know, that's a situation where when you think about it, when the head coach says, yep, we talked to Aaron and essentially we got clearance that it would be okay, tells you all you need to know about what the Jets are right now. Aaron Rodgers has to okay things for them to happen. Now, some of that's okay, I guess. Their only hope is Aaron Rodgers. I think that's an interesting game Monday night because the Bills won their first three games and everybody said, here we go. They've lost two in a row. If they lose that game, they're actually not in first place. They're a 500 team and the Jets might be ready to take off. So some good NFL the rest of the day. I mean, we get a 1 o'clock window that obviously has our game, a 4 o'clock window with Cowboys Lions, and then a really good Monday night game. The Sunday night game, probably not one that America's looking forward to. They would have been looking forward to Baltimore and Washington, but instead we get Nance and Romo. When's the last time Romo had one of our games? Oh, you know when it was? I can tell you when it was. Thanksgiving Day last year. Nance and Romo had Washington-Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. It was a CBS game. Right? I'm pretty sure that's probably the only time he's had a Washington game. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back. You'll hear Dan Quinn. Mark Schlereth is going to join us at 12:35, and we still have to make our picks on the game. We'll do that before the show is over. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and theteam980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, Denton and I will have our predictions on the game in about 16 minutes, but lucky to have Mark Schlereth, a three-time Super Bowl champion, his first coming here with the 91 team. He is an Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be Delicious. I was talking, first of all, Mark's done two of the games with Chris Myers. He did the Giants game, and he did the Arizona game a few weeks ago. But I was talking the other day. This is probably, and it's no exaggeration, Mark, this is probably the biggest early season game this franchise has had since the early 90s. It's been that long. They've had some big late season games, but nothing this early. When did you know in 91 that you guys were legitimately Super Bowl good? Do you remember?
Yeah, probably early. You know, I mean, we had, you know, a really good defense. I still think we're the only Super Bowl team in history to have a top five offense, top five defense, and top five special teams. So we had, you know, a really good defense. And offensively, you know, like we could run it against anybody. But, you know, we could throw it over the top of people. We were just, a dominant football team. And you realize pretty early in the season that you had the opportunity to dominate everybody you played against. So it's probably 5 or 6 weeks in. You knew you were good, but it was probably 5 or 6 weeks into the season when you knew you were really, really good. Like, man, this is, like, really, really legit.
Yeah, you guys went to Chicago actually in week 6 to play a really good Bears team, or thought to be really good Bears team, and just smoked them. And then it was like, from that point forward, it was like Washington's legit. But it's apples to oranges because, like you said, veteran team more so, playoff team the year before. This team's totally different. So tell us what's impressed you the most, especially, you know, being close to the team, being able to sit down with these guys for two different games. What are you impressed with?
Just watching Jaden Daniels, first and foremost. Like, we all know that he's been exceptional, but watching things that he did early and watching him accept correction and then not do those things, you know, going down the – I mean, it's just been 5 games. And, you know, his inability to maybe pick things out early, his propensity to run the ball first and think about throwing it later – to where, you know, he was coached up on, you can't miss this throw. Hey, man, you've got time in the pocket here. You got to push this throw down the football field. I put something on my television show, Breakfast Ball, this morning that, you know, he's got a one-on-one coverage situation with a safety in the middle of the field where Terry McLaurin's bending a route, you know, bending a kind of a post route across the safety's face. He's wide, wide open in week one. And Jaden's got a clean pocket. It is. I mean, it can't get any more wide open than that in professional football, and he decides to take off and run. And then you watch the juxtaposition of what went down even last week where he's got one-on-one, same type of situation, safety in the middle of the field, and finds De'Ami Brown, sees that matchup before De'Ami's even open, and throws him open down the corner of the end zone. Like, that just in 5 weeks going, okay, I won't make that mistake again. His ability to take that coaching and not make the same mistake twice has been remarkable. And I think the other thing is Dan Quinn. Like, Dan Quinn's got, you know, non-negotiables about playing hard and playing for one another. And you know, a lot of coaches have those. But, you know, to be able to implement that, to be able to get full buy-in. But the other thing to me is understanding who he is on the defensive side of the ball. And he's not calling plays anymore, but he's saying, hey, man, we're going to have to err on the side of being super aggressive on the offensive side of the ball. So on fourth downs, we're going for it. You know, we know that we've got to protect our defense that really is probably the weak link of our football team, and we're not personnel where we need to be yet. So we're going to make these plays on the offensive side of the ball, and to turn that responsibility over to a rookie quarterback and say, hey, you got to bail us out on some of these things because we're not good enough on the defensive side of the ball. So we're going to have to score 30-plus points a game. Having a head coach recognize that, especially a defensive play caller recognize that, because, you know, defensive guys, right? They want to win with defense. Yeah. And for Dan Quinn to say, hey, man, we're not going to win that way, so I got to manage the game a different way than I normally may have wanted to or, you know, maybe in my past would have, I think it shows a lot of growth by Dan Quinn.
You did the Giant game, and then came the Monday night game against Cincinnati, and then you had the Arizona game. You know, I'm wondering if you have a sense, sitting down with these people, and I think a lot of fans understand, when you guys get a chance to sit down with these guys Friday, Saturday, whenever it is, you know, I always love listening to guys like you during the broadcast, because I think we learn something about what you learned from them. But were they like, did you get a sense that they were blown away with how far along and how good Jaden was, or that it was expected? This couldn't have been expected, right?
No, I don't think it could have been expected. And, you know, I think the big thing right off the bat was the professionalism. And I always said this about professional sports: just because you play a pro sport doesn't make you a professional.
Right.
And there are a lot of kids that come into this league that aren't professionals and have to learn how to become a professional. He was a professional freaking football player the day he walked in. You know, he understood, like, the work that was involved. He is it's funny, you know, it was funny. The first time I ever met with Jimmy Garoppolo, I asked Jimmy Garoppolo, like, about Tom Brady. And what did you learn from Tom Brady? And he said this. He goes, I learned from Tom Brady that professional playing quarterback is not a job. It's a lifestyle. Your whole life's got to be surrounded in playing quarterback. And Jaden Daniels walked in with that perspective. He knew that. I mean, the story is they call him a key card guy. You know, he's the first guy in the building. You know, he's just that way. But it's not just for show. You know, he knows what to look at. He knows what he's looking for. You know, I had a meeting with them before I called that Arizona game Saturday morning, 7:30 in the morning. Cliff Kingsbury was my first guy in the chair. And Cliff goes, you know, this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm down in my office putting stuff together. And who pops his head in? Jaden Daniels. What are you working on? Let's look at some stuff together. Like that's, you know, and they're in Arizona where everybody else is kind of having a mini vacation, right? But this is who the guy is. And so they knew that part was different. And then his ability to execute, you know, his ability to do all the things that need to be done have been incredible. And then the growth of Cliff Kingsbury, I think, is, you know, that doesn't go unnoticed on my part, because I called a bunch of Arizona games when he was the head coach play caller with Arizona. And this is a guy that, you know, had that, he got fired, took some time, a couple of months away, then got involved as a consultant, so to speak, with USC, and then went really critical to look at himself and look at the air raid offense and say, okay, what has to be different? Because it certainly doesn't work in the NFL. And, you know, to acquiesce to some things like to bring in a guy like Anthony Lynn, my former teammate, to really embrace kind of the mentality of running the football, to understand that, hey, man, I got to have tight ends in this league that can inline block and do some things, and I've got to change that. I got to get out of all the spread personnel settings and formations, and I got to condense formations a little bit more. I got to embrace being under center. And, you know, the first game of the season, they probably were under center 4 or 5 times. And Cliff told me flat out, we need to be under center 20, 25 times a game, because it's going to open up not only our run game, but it's going to open up play action stuff. Right. So to be able to look at yourself critically and say, man, I made a lot of mistakes when I first got in because I really didn't understand the NFL. And, you know, when I look at the offense that I was running, and I've come to the realization that offense doesn't work in the NFL. You've got to morph into a little bit more NFL style. Parts of it do, you know, there's parts of that actually work, but there are a lot of things that don't work. So I've got to be able to morph kind of what I want as a play caller into something that is more NFL-centric. And so all those things, I just have a lot of respect for a guy that will look at himself critically and say, I got to change.
What game do you have this weekend?
I'm off this weekend, so okay. I am just going to hunker down and watch football from my couch.
At Mark Schlereth on X on Twitter. So in talking about Kingsbury, it's kind of my next question was, how much of Jaden's success do you give to Cliff?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of what Jaden is doing. Like, I give a lot of credit to Cliff. Jaden is incredibly talented, but I give a lot of Cliff to, one, designing and developing a run game that fits their quarterback's skill set, right? That fits his athleticism and his, you know, run pass option and some of the design stuff that they can do. So I give them a lot of credit for that. I think that's big time. And then I give a lot of credit to Cliff of taking all those things in that kind of collegiate style, air raid style of offense, and melding it together with things that will help the quarterback and help take some of the pressure off the quarterback in the run game and some of the other things they do from a passing standpoint. So, like, I give a lot of credit to Cliff. There's a lot of guys, you know, that are such system guys that they look at their system and say, hey, man, you got to fit into my system and you got to make everything work out of my system. And, you know, Cliff looked at the things that work with his system. He used those things that work with Jaden and his skill set. And then he made a lot of changes in what he used to do with Kyler Murray. And, you know, I think the other thing that I'll give Cliff a lot of credit for, he said one of the things that he was so disappointed with himself was with Kyler Murray. He didn't have a veteran guy that played a similar style in that quarterback room. And a guy who's been through some of the battles, been through some of the growing pains, been through some of the successes. And he said it's been imperative that he went out and got Marcus Mariota, even when Marcus was on IR, to be in that quarterback room for a guy that was also drafted number two overall, and to be able to share some of the success stories, but also, you know, some of the struggles and some of the problems and some of the, you know, hardships that he had. To be in that room and be able to see it from somebody else's perspective and somebody else's eyes who kind of went through a similar situation, you know, when he got drafted in the National Football League. And so, you know, he was really remiss about not having Kyler in that situation and not really bringing anybody in to really help Kyler cope with some of those things. So he said he wasn't going to make that mistake again. That's why he brought Marcus Mariota in.
Mark Schlereth joining us, of course, part of the 91 team, a Pro Bowler that year, part of just, you know, one of the greatest teams of all time. I think it is the greatest team of all time. So when you look at this O-line, is it performing at a high level because of the coordinator and the quarterback, or is it just a good offensive line?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a good offensive line. I think they've made some key additions, you know, I think they've made a key addition at the left guard position. Biotish at center has been really, really good. So I think they've made some key acquisitions. And then ultimately, like, to be good as an offensive line, you have to have a play caller who understands the issues that are presented to you every week. And so you have to give an offensive lineman tools to be successful. And, you know, I always kind of equate it to a construction project. So, like, if you ask me to build you a deck and you supply the lumber for me and then you say, here's a hammer, go to it. Like, I'll build you a deck, but don't stand on it because it ain't going to be worth a crap. And so as a play caller, you have to give me not only that hammer, but you got to give me, you know, a screw gun and some screws. You got to give me a level. You got to give me a saw. You got to give me tools so I can be successful. So, you know, the biggest thing about, like, pass protection, for instance, is if we're going to throw it 35 times, you got to whittle that down as a play caller to 12 times where we have to hold up. You know, so, hey, man, we got to give me 5 or 6 three-step drops. You got to give me 5 or 6, right, you know, 5 bubble screens and swing passes. You got to give me, you know, 5 or 6, you know, run action, play action stuff with the boot keep game that's open or the RPO game. You got to give me 5 or 6 play pass where I got 7 guys in protection or 8 guys in protection and we flag that ball out and then we throw it over the top with a 2-man route. Then you got to, like, then you got to give me a couple of 5-step drops where there's no hitches so I can get, you know, I can be aggressive and I can attack the line of scrimmage. I can take the pass out of pass protection. And if you do all those things for me, and I can't hold up for the 12 times I have to hold up on 5-steppers that have a lot of hitches in them, you know, and take a little bit of time, then I suck as an offensive lineman and you should replace me. But if you give me all those tools in my tool belt, guess what? The odds are is I'm going to hold up in those tough protection situations because I've got enough, I've done enough things and created enough indecision in defensive linemen that they're not quite sure what they're going to get. And that's the key to being good up front. Give me those opportunities. Give me the tools in my tool belt, and good things will happen for us.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. All right, two quick ones. One, how do they beat Baltimore, and what kind of shot do you give them of pulling it off?
Yeah, obviously they're going to have to really possess the ball. They're going to have to beat Baltimore's game, which is possess the ball, hold on to it, score in the red zone, and try to limit the Baltimore possessions, you know, cut them down from 12 to 8 or 9 possessions. And then, you know, if you can do that, if you can play with a lead. So if you can get to the point where you got a 10-12 point lead and you make Baltimore get into a drop back game. Hey, as great as, you know, Lamar Jackson is, and he's great, you know, he's a 2-time MVP. His strong suit is not passing, like, is not the drop back passing game. His strong suit is play action, RPO game, you know, get into where you have a bunch of 8-9 man fronts and you're getting one-on-one on the outside. You know what coverage you're getting before you break the huddle. That's where he excels. And if you can get him out of that game because you have a 10-point lead and you're possessing the ball and they start counting possessions, you got a chance to win. That's a lot. That's a tall order. And so, you know, if I was a gambling man, which I'm not, I'd take the Baltimore Ravens and I would give the points because I think they're that good. But Washington, what they've done offensively, and their ability to create points and control line of scrimmage and do all those things, I'm giving Washington a solid fighting chance in this game. I think Baltimore at the end will win this game, but this should be a great one. And it's been so much fun to watch this Commanders team. I mean, it makes me excited to be a Washington Commander fan. So I'm really excited about this, and a loss here does not deter my excitement for the season.
When do you have him next? Do you?
I don't know what my schedule is. I'll start back up next week, or the week after next. I'm coming in next week. I've got the week off next week as well because I'm coming in for Darryl Green's jersey retirement. Yeah. So I asked for that time off. So I get to be a part of that ceremony, and then I don't have my week 8 game yet.
All right. Well, I think I just looked at it. The next three are on CBS anyway. Always enjoy this. Hope you're well. Have enjoyed the calls of the games that you've had with Washington. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Mark Schlereth, everybody. Odyssey Insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. All right, Denton. Time for predictions. You go first.
I will go first. We're going to be celebrating on Monday. The team is going to be 5-1. I think the defense gets stops. That's really what I think is going to be the determining factor here. I don't think, but let me rephrase that. I think the defense gets a stop. I don't think you're going to need a ton. I think you just need one. I think they do it. Maybe a couple turnovers as well. Joe Witt has talked about how he's never gone this deep into a season without having an interception. Hopefully that is a good omen of what is going to happen this weekend with the defense. But I think the team moves to 5-1. I'm going to say 35-30. Washington gets it done in Baltimore.
27-24 Washington. I feel like they've got a really good shot to win. I hate doing this because I feel like predicting them to lose a close game has worked well. It worked well against Cincinnati. But I'm going to go with Washington shocking Baltimore 27-24. And the key to this game is that they end up +2 in the turnover category. They get 2 turnovers. And they don't turn it over themselves. And those 2 extra possessions end up being a huge difference maker in the game. And we'll be talking about it Monday morning. All right. Enjoy the football all weekend, especially Sunday. We'll be back on Monday with the recap. Chris Russell's up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.